Today on Brave, the start of a bold new series from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Choose to surrender to Christ's authority. Choose to surrender to Christ's authority. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He knows he has all authority. You need to choose to align your allegiance under his authority. Let me tell you what the word surrender means. Surrender means this. It means to yield to the possession or power of another.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. According to Scripture, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ takes more than just a shift in thinking. It takes a complete transformation from the inside out. Today, Pastor Jeff kicks off a bold series called Disciple Shift. This five-part study outlines what it takes to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. As believers, Christ calls us to a radical shift in our allegiance. And in today's message, Selfishness to Surrender, Pastor Jeff reframes what it means to live for God as he explains the power of surrender. And let me remind you, you can always revisit or share these Bible lessons with friends and family at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message.
Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of hearing you. Lord, that's why we gather. We gather to give you worship and honor you and to hear your word. And Lord, I believe that you have a word directly for each person that is listening. And so, Lord, make it specific and apply it specifically to each person who is here this morning who is ready to receive your word. And Lord, may we be ready to receive it. Lord, if there's any known sin in our life, we confess that before you now, knowing that you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we're ready to hear you. So Lord, I ask you to be helpful to me as I preach today. And Lord, bring forth your word in such a way that changes us, that we would become who you say we are, that we'd put into things the very things that you show us to practice. And Lord, for all that, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And now all of God's people who are ready to receive his word, hear it, believe it, and put it into practice, agreed with me by very loudly saying the word, amen, amen. Well, on Friday, our vacation ended, and we were flying home, and I don't know about you, but when we travel as a family, it's easier for me to travel by myself than with everybody because it involves luggage, it involves everybody getting their stuff in the car, it involves getting to the airport on time, and my wife had asked me during the week what time we need to leave on Friday, and I quickly glanced at my phone, it said 9:20, and I said, you know, 9 o'clock, we got to be ready at 9, and it's, if you know my family at all, we don't get up early. If left to our own, we would just kind of roll however it goes. I didn't wear shoes for an entire month. I mean, it was just one of those times. And I knew to get my family up at 6 in the morning, make it to the airport, was going to be kind of a challenge. So I was praying for my mood, not to try to push people too much. And sure enough, everybody got up at 6 o'clock without incident. It went really well. We got the luggage packed in the car. We got to the place to check in at about 8 in the morning. And it's like, this is incredible. We've never had this happen. And I got to the front and they said, where are you flying? I said, Denver. They said, we don't have a flight to Denver. I said, yeah, you do. They said, can I see your boarding pass? So I pulled out my app for the airline and showed my boarding pass. She took a look at it. She looked up and she said, this is 9:20 p.m. Apparently, the letters PM make a difference on your boarding pass. So I looked at my wife to see, is this going to be one of those moments I get a lot of grace or not? So I affirmed everybody and their willingness to be there early. Now, it turned out my uncle and aunt live in Orlando, so we spent the day with them. It was fine. But the whole thing was, if you don't pay attention to the instructions that are given to you, it changes everything. There was a total shift in what we did once we understood what was really being stated. Nowhere is this more true than when it comes to making disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us a mandate. After he was risen from the dead, he made an appointment with his disciples in Galilee, some 60 miles north of Jerusalem, and invited them all to meet him there. And there he gave what we refer to as the Great Commission. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. I want to read these verses because this will be the overview for our entire series over the next 6 weeks, and we'll end back here. But I want to give you just a little overview of what Jesus says. So he calls all his disciples together. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, here's what he says. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now we call this the Great Commission because what Jesus' plan was is to use his disciples, those that were gathered with him there, and all of us who are called by the name of Jesus Christ to be used in this mission of making disciples. Now, in this text, like before he tells them to go, what's he tell them? He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's a lot of authority. I had somebody ask me after service last night, where did Jesus get his authority? And here's where he got his authority. He's God. He's always been God. He's always existed. He's always had all authority. So he's reminding his disciples, "I have all authority. It's been given to me." And then he gives the command to make disciples. And he gives us how to do that and go baptize and teach everything that he commanded. And then he gives the promise of his presence. "I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." Now, just by show of hands, how many have heard that before? How many have heard that before? All right. We've all heard that. But when it comes to making disciples, sometimes we think this. Sometimes we say, well, that's the church's job. So if we ask ourselves the question, hey, how are we doing making disciples? Many of us start thinking about church. Well, I went to Brave Church when there was 10 people. Now there's a few thousand. So we're actually doing a good job. I think we're doing pretty great. But what Jesus is commanding his disciples to do, he's talking to them individually. It's really a question for us individually. How are you doing making disciples? Who are the disciples that you're making? Who are the disciples that you've made? Are they quality disciples? How do you know if they're quality disciples? I mean, that's really what Jesus is setting the stage for. And when it comes down to it, each one of us is called by Jesus in his mandate and mission to go out and multiply disciples. We're called to go make disciples. We're called to make something. Now, for those of you that know me, I can't make anything. I mean, I can't make a model airplane. I can't fix things in my house. I just can't do a darn thing. And what happens is I have this history in my life of not being able to do anything mechanical. I mean, I recall when I bought a CD stand some number of years ago and from Walmart, tried to put it together. It was supposed to take 10 or 15 minutes. It took me like 3 hours and the thing wobbled until it broke. I recall when I was first married to my wife, how she had gotten a mirror for the bathroom and I decided to surprise her while she was gone to put the mirror in. It only involved 2 screws, but I accidentally hit a stud and left 2 huge holes in her wall and had to call somebody out to put the mirror in. There may have been swearing during that time. I don't remember, right? I have this history that tells me I've gone through frustration that I can't do it, anger at the fact, why can't I do it? And then come to this, paralysis. Now I never do anything. Any activity in my house that needs to be done mechanically is simply a phone call away, 100% of the time. And every time I have friends come over and fix something for me, they'll say something like this, "You know, you could do this yourself." I'm like, "No, I can't." And they're like, "All you gotta do is watch a YouTube video." I'm like, "I can watch YouTube videos all day long. I never know how to do it. I would need somebody to come and move my hands and maneuver me and show me how to do it." So I want to tell you this. When it comes to a pastor talking to a congregation about how to make disciples, some of you feel like I do mechanically. And you say, "Well, that's a pastor's job. You're skilled in that. You went to school for that. That's you. That's not me. And I can listen to you preach, but it's not going to help me actually do this." Let me make you a promise on the onset of this series. If you participate in the next 6 weeks, I will show you how to do this in such a way that I promise you, you'll be able to do it. And here's why I know you can do it. Because Jesus says that you can do it. And he wants you to do this. And if you want to be part of the mission of Jesus Christ, that's the shift that we're going to take. Now, oftentimes when we start talking about discipleship, like if we ask you to define it, so I'm not going to start with definition, we would have as many different definitions for what a disciple is as we do people in the room. Like, what's discipleship? We'd have that many definitions. How would you define it? What is it? We're going to take a look at what it is. And here's the challenge. What you're going to ask yourself and what you're going to be tempted to do is you're going to be tempted to, okay, what do I have to do? What's the rule? What's the method? What's the methodology? How do I get? We'll get there, but we're not talking about rules here. We're talking about relationship here. The only way that making a disciple works is if you're rightly connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have relationship with him. Otherwise, if you don't have relationship with Christ, everything you're going to hear is going to feel like a bunch of rules. Or if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're going to think you're a disciple because you're doing a bunch of things, but you're not even connected to Jesus. Let me give you an example. This week, before we came home, I was asking each one of my kids, like, what was your favorite part of our vacation? You know, was it a restaurant? Was it a ride at Disney? We were out on a lake for some of the time. Was it learning to do things, water skiing, whatever? And all my kids gave me their answers. And then my youngest, I asked her, I said, what was the best part of vacation? And she said, without hesitation, she was like, "Daddy, it was being together the whole time as a family." And I said, well, we're together a lot. Like, what do you mean? She's like, Daddy, when we're at home, you work. I have you to myself all day long, every day. And she jumped up and gave me this huge hug and a kiss. To which I was like, what do you want? I mean, I'll buy you whatever, right? And it moves the father's heart the same way. He doesn't need us out doing a bunch of stuff and following a bunch of rules. What moves the father's heart is when we embrace Jesus in such a way. He's like, you love my son. Oh, that I pour out my love on. That's what discipleship is all about. Everything flows out of the overflow of our relationship with Jesus. And that's why foundationally, we're going to talk about six different foundational choices we're going to make over the next 6 weeks. And these are choices that are ongoing in our life so that we are disciples and so that we're actually making disciples of other people as well. And so to do that today, I want to take a look at foundational choice number one. And to do that, I invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, go back a few chapters, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. This is a great place to start if we're going to talk about discipleship and how to make the shift into a relationship, because when Jesus called his disciples in Matthew chapter 4:19, he said this. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And what did the disciples do? They dropped their nets, they left everything they had, and they followed him. What would cause someone to do that? And then all throughout his ministry, he was saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. Now, in this section of scripture, just to set it up, here's what's going on. There's really two groups of people that were following Jesus all the time. There were indifferent and hostile people to Jesus, and there were people that really wanted to know how to have a relationship with Jesus, and he dealt with them all the time. I mean, a lot of the group were the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of the day. And in this text, in the beginning of Matthew 16, they show up and say, hey, Jesus, just give us a sign, that'll be enough. I mean, just prove that you're God, then we'll believe you. Now, here's the irony of that. He'd already been doing signs. He'd turned water into wine. He had healed people. He had restored sight to the blind. He helped the crippled to walk. He'd even raised people from the dead. And yet they're coming to him like, one more, just prove it, just prove it, prove it. So he's got that whole thing going on. Then he gathers his disciples. He takes them to Caesarea Philippi, the most pagan place on the planet of the day. And he asks them this question, who do you say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and others say Elijah. He goes, no, that's not what I ask. I'm not concerned about what other people think. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responds to him and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, well, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for this was revealed to you by my Father who's in heaven. And upon your testimony, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, every time someone's saved, if you're saved here today, it's because the Father gave you grace to see the glory of his Son and you responded to him. And he loves you with an unconditional love. And nobody did that for you but God. God did it in your life. And after Jesus does that, then he takes his disciples aside and begins to tell them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. He's going to be buried in a grave, but don't worry, he'll rise from the dead. At this time, Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. He says, No. You don't understand. I know that you're the Lord now. You're not going to die. You're going to stay with us. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan, for you not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. See, here's what you have. You have a group of people that are basically, I don't think you are who you say you are, prove it. And you have this other group of people like, we believe who you are, but here's how we want to live. We want to tell you how to do your thing for us. Right? They got the same two groups of people today. Right? You have some people that are like, hey, just prove yourself that you're God and then I'll believe. And you have other people like, well, I believe. Now, Jesus, let me tell you what you need to do for me. All the time. Would you like to know what Jesus said next? This is where we're at in the text. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 27. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. This is Jesus' response to a group of people who are hostile or indifferent. This is Jesus' response to a group of disciples who want to know, hey, what's the next step? What do I need to do? What's my foundational choice? And this is what he says. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me. Now, this whole word wish is to desire. It means if you have a burning desire to do this. Like, if you really wish to come after me. And notice what he says. Who's he address it to? To anyone. So who would that include? Who would it include? Everybody. It includes you. I mean, it doesn't matter what your gender is, your height, your weight, your nationality, the color of your skin, your age. If anyone would come after me. Like, you people that want to see signs, you people that are indifferent to me, hey, you that really want to follow, anyone, this is the entranceway, this is foundational steps. If anyone would wish to come after me, he must. Now, why is Jesus given a command? He must. It would be similar to this. If you want to drive my car, you must use my key. If you want to enter through the front door of my house, you must use my key. I mean, if you want to do it, it's conditional. In other words, I'm not going to make you do this, but if this is something you desire to come after me, then there's some conditions for it. And really, this is the foundational choice. It's foundational for everything we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks. You get this one wrong, you miss the whole thing. You get this one right, you can begin to grow. And here's foundational choice number one. Are you ready? Foundational choice number one is this: choose to surrender to Christ's authority. Choose to surrender to Christ's authority. Jesus said he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You're choosing to surrender to Christ's authority. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay? He knows he has all authority. You need to choose to align your allegiance under his authority. Let me tell you what the word surrender means. Surrender means this. It means to yield to the possession or power of another. To yield to the possession or power of another. When I surrender, I am yielding my rights, my authority, what I think is all about me, to the authority of Jesus Christ. We say Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, why is this important? Because we live in a culture that teaches many times that you don't need to do that. That's for like the spiritual disciples. Like, all you need to do is just believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead. That's all you need to do. If you just do that, just want you to know God loves you, that's all you need to do. Can I just tell you this? The devil believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross and was buried and was raised from the dead. Okay? But he's not under, you know, he's never submitted and surrendered his life to the Lord. Never will. He's going to be punished for that eternally. The Bible teaches that. Just because you know facts about Jesus doesn't make you a believer. Doesn't mean you've transitioned. So here's the question. You know, you said, but Pastor Jeff, it says in the Bible, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yeah, believe on who? The Lord Jesus Christ, his authority. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. So there has to be a time in your life where you've shifted your relationship to being in control of you to Jesus, you're my authority. You're the authority in my life. You get to call the shots. But Pastor Jeff, I went to a Billy Graham crusade. I walked forward. I had tears in my eyes. I prayed this prayer. They told me to pray. Hey, Pastor Jeff, I was at another conference. I heard this. It felt warm in my heart. Hey, Pastor Jeff, I was baptized in water. I know that's got to count. I'm not asking you what you've done. I'm asking you, when in your life did your relationship with Christ shift from being about you to being about Christ's authority in you? That's what we're going to talk about. Now, you're going to ask the question, how do I know if I'm under Christ's authority? It's a great question. That's what Jesus is going to unpack for us today in this text. How do I know that I'm surrendered to him? And by surrender, what we mean is I'm giving up my rights. I'm giving up my authority. In the early 1990s, during Operation Desert Storm, I remember watching a lot of newscasts. And at one point in time, I remember when some of the Iraqi soldiers were surrendering, you would see them in foxholes. And what were they doing? They were waving white towels. It was their way of saying, no longer us. We're not fighting against you. We're not going against you. We're under your authority. You get to choose to do with us whatever you want. That's surrender. That's what it means. So here's the question. Are you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? When did that begin and how is it continuing? That's foundational choice number one. Now, let me tell you something. You miss this, you miss it all. Right? I mean, Jesus set it up. He said, you must do this. It means Jesus establishes the rules because he's authority. If you miss this, you miss the rules. By the way, when you get to heaven, for those of you that are believers, and you start looking for people that would say, well, I'm looking for the person that said, well, I just believe that Jesus died, but I've never been a real disciple. I never submitted to his authority. I just knew the facts about Jesus. You won't find them in heaven because they're not there. That person's called unsaved. Let me just tell you this. Some of the reason for some of you hearing my voice today and you're wondering why is this not working for me? I'm doing all the same things my friend is doing. I'm going to church. I'm singing the songs. I'm listening to the preaching. I have my own Bible. I'm even in a small group. It's just not working. It's just not working. Here's my question. Are you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Because if the answer is not, here's why it's not working. Because you're not saved. And if you're not saved, God can't pour his life in and through you. Right? And that's what's going on. You can't skirt this. You can't miss this. There are rules that are set up by Jesus' authority. Just like in society, there's rules that are set up by our authority and our government. A couple months ago, I was coming to church, and if you're ever out on Colorado and Hamden during the week, you'll understand it's a very busy intersection. As a matter of fact, in the mornings when I come in on Hamden, it's usually backed up all the way back to that Lutheran church. And so, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's like a middle lane that's got dots on it that's aligned. And if you just kind of get into that turn lane down by the Lutheran church, you can zoom by all the traffic and you don't have to get stopped by anybody. And because the light to turn into Colorado doesn't wait very long, I mean, I've done that for a long time. That's how I get to church. Well, apparently, it's not legal. Because about 2 months ago, as I was turning onto Colorado, I saw police lights behind me, and I'm thinking, was that me? It couldn't be me. I don't know if I did anything wrong. And the guy in front of me turned off, and sure enough, he's right on my tail. So I thought to myself, oh, I'm pulling into church to see if he has the guts to give me a ticket here. And so I pulled into the church and went to get out of my car. He said, stay in your car, sir. I said, well, I work here. And he said, I know, stay in your car. I said, well, good, I got that in. Well, he came back and he said, do you know what you did wrong? And I was like, I kind of have an idea, but he's like, you went down the turn lane. I said, well, I turned. He's like, yeah, but you can't stay in that lane that long. And he goes, I'm just going to let you off with a warning. I said, thank you very much. I said, I'll let all our staff know because I'm sure they do the same thing too. It's not just me. And told them all. And he said, you might want to consider coming a back road or doing whatever. So I haven't done that since. Why? Because it's a rule. Now, here's what he went on to tell me. It's not just a rule. It's a rule for a reason. He's like, I'm telling you this because you don't know the amount of car accidents I've seen because of people doing what you do. Because other people that are turning the other way, they can't see that you're in the middle lane. And it may not even be you, but it'd be somebody else. And I'm doing it for your own safety. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's for my own safety. It's for the good of the community. I understand the rule now. Because why? Because I have a relationship, right? And that's what this is all about. So when Jesus is talking about his authority, he's inviting you under the umbrella of his authority, not because he's trying to be authoritarian. It's just the fact about Jesus. He created everything. He created the whole universe. He created it all. And he's telling you, I need to be in control because I know what I'm doing. And so the question then becomes for us, how do we know that we're remaining under the authority of Christ? Like, how do I know that I've shifted my allegiance? How do I know that I'm truly a disciple and I'm growing in Christ? And this is what Jesus spells out. He says he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So let's unpack those three together. The first is this, to deny yourself. It means this. It means you choose to remain ruthless with yourself. If you're a disciple, you're going to choose to remain ruthless with yourself. Now, what ruthless means, without compassion or pity or mercy, it means that you're going to be strict about you. Here's what Jesus would say. Everything you have, your body, your resources, your relationships, your influence, everything you are, it's not yours. It's his. Here's the question. Has it come under the allegiance of him?
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and a message titled Selfishness to Surrender. We're learning what it means to be a committed follower of Jesus in our new series called Disciple Shift. And remember, you can always find these messages at our website, bravemedia.online. These days, it's countercultural to submit to anything other than yourself. Our postmodern society constantly tells us that we should be calling the shots and making the rules. But the Bible warns that when God is not our authority, we're destined for failure. And in our current series, Pastor Jeff will explain the importance of following Christ by surrendering to his word and his will for our lives. It's a daily choice to give Jesus complete authority in every aspect of our lives. And while there are sacrifices and even suffering to endure, the blessings of discipleship far exceed the cost. Here at Brave, we took the bold step to create this ministry and make our daily Bible teachings widely available to help you grow in your walk of faith. If you'd like to pay it forward and help others receive the same spiritual support, you can do that right now by making a financial gift to Brave. You can easily partner with us and help us keep these gospel lessons on the air by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail right to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver area, visit us in person for weekend services at Brave Church. We'd love to see you this weekend at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. If you're listening from elsewhere, join us through our live stream. For details to attend or stream weekend services, head to bravemedia.online and at the bottom of the homepage, click the button labeled Brave Church. I'm your host, Bill Carl. That's all of our time for now. Pastor Jeff will continue the message, Selfish to Surrender, tomorrow. So make plans to join us then, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.